Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The Shred Show Live, where we bring you industry professionals, entrepreneurs, and the best of the best from around the world who are willing to share how they shred, the strategies, the techniques, and the actionable items that you need in your business to go out and dominate. Join us as we shred, show up, hustle, repeat every day. Let's go. I literally cannot tell you guys how excited I am to have Andrew Cady, the epic mortgage guy, chilling with me this morning. We're going to be talking about so many things that are valuable to you, to your business, and to your life, because that's what this show is all about, bringing you value. We all know that we love the mortgage business. We're passionate about it. But Andrew brings such a unique perspective on so many elements of that, and we're going to get into it. But before we do, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know Andrew Cady, what's up, brother? How are you? Look at, I see your smile.
Good to see you again.
It's good to see you. I was literally just asking you. It's always fun when you and I get to hang out in person, but you got a busy schedule. You're shredding it within your business. I mean, that's just what you do.
I'm trying, man.
Dude, I mean, as you were telling me, you've had a banner year up to this. I mean, we're halfway through the year. You guys are just crushing it transactional-wise, doing amazing things. And that's, I want to talk about it today. Let's just kind of dive right into it. I mean, You are busy, but I want to ask you this: Is doing mortgages hard? Is doing mortgage being in the business hard?
It's not hard. It's actually way harder when you are doing 1 to 2 loans a month than when you're doing 30 to 40 loans a month. It's way harder because it's that rinse and repeat methodology. The reality is, almost every transaction is going to carry the same components. Yes, there's unique caveats to every single situation, but overall, it is a rinse and repeat. And the busier you get, yes, you're busier. But the benefit of it is you're seeing scenarios on a weekly basis that loan officers see on a biannual basis. Mm-hmm. If you're doing 2 loans a month, that's the volume that, like in March, we closed 56 deals. If you're doing 2 loans a month, that's 2 years of production for what we did for March. So what you may see once in 2 years, we saw twice in the month of March. Wow. And so honestly, the busier you get, things do get easier because little things, an error in your loan software that you see that trips you up, we see those things all the time. We go through those things all the time. And so really the busier you get, there's an element of it that really does get easier.
Sure. And that's that type of mentality, because so many people, and I've heard this, I literally had a conversation with an LO here locally in Utah over the weekend that he's just like, dude, I'm already, you know, I'm maxed out. I'm doing 7 or 8 loans. I just can't imagine doing any more. But if you have that mindset that you do, it's like, hey, if you're doing 7 or 8, like you can get to 12, you can get to 15, you can get to 20, you can get to 25. Like it's just a little bit of change in mindset, knowing that you already know what to expect. Like, you know, what's going to come.
Yeah. And that is the mindset of loan officers. And that was my mindset. 3 years ago, 10 loans in a month was a stressful month for me. Yeah. Now if I have 10 loans in a month, I feel like a failure. I feel like the heck's going on. The world's falling. I don't know what's going on with my life. You know, did I anger the gods? But yeah, like it's a progress growth. 3 years ago, 10 loans in a month, I was stressed out. I didn't know what I was going to do. And then as you get to that 10, you maintain the 10, 10 becomes simple. And then you can scale it to 12, to 14, to 18, to 25. And that scaling just naturally happens over time. Mm.
But it does happen with time. I'm glad you bring that up, because it's not something all of us who have ever been there, anybody who's ever closed over 20 transactions a month knows that if you just started closing 20 transactions and you're brand new to the business, you're going to get way overwhelmed. You're going to get swamped. Like you're not ready for that. Like you said, you haven't seen the issues that come up that arise, how to handle those situations, how to handle those escalations with consumers. If you went to 20 transactions overnight, you'd want to give up in this business.
Yeah. Well, besides giving up, you'd burn relationships. And so I think a growth model that is a continuous growth model is a great model.
Yeah.
Because as you scale, you perfect what you do. And so you're not burning relationships. You're not burning deals in the meantime. If I would have gone to 20 deals a month on day one, I would not be where I'm at today. It was those months of doing 2, 3, 4 loans and doing them really, really well that built the relationships that still get me business today doing the volume we're doing.
So let's talk about that, because this is a whole relationship key. This is something for me, and we talk about relationships in this business. When you're doing the amount of volume that you are and that you do on a regular basis, how are you able to focus on those relationships? How are you able to help those consumers, every client that you help, how do you help them feel like this is a relationship? How do you feel that the Epic Mortgage guy cares about you? How do you have time to do that?
Well, if you notice, my shirt now says Epic Mortgage Team.
Yeah, I love it.
You know, I am the Epic Mortgage guy. I always will be, but it's all about structuring into a team and hiring teammates on your team that you can trust. And that's really going to be the key for growth beyond about 20 loans a month. You know, for me, I could personally handle about 20 transactions a month myself.
Sure.
Beyond that, you have to hire a team that you can trust. And besides hiring a team that you can trust, you need to actually trust them. And those are two separate things.
That's deep.
Hiring
for sure.
Trustworthy people is key, but trusting those people to do what's supposed to be done is a very, very difficult step that a lot of loan officers find, but it's the crucial key. And then never stepping out of your leadership role, measure and adjust. You know, if you have teammates on your team, they're not you for a reason. If they were me, they would have their own Epic team. But Absolutely. Teammates on my team can be an intricate part of my team. But there is always that methodology of measuring the progress, measuring the results, and adjusting as need be.
Oh man, as a leader, that's why you continue to be so successful. And I've talked about this before with you, is you're one of those LOs, you're one of those professionals that haven't been in it as long as some of the other, you know, guys, the lifetimers. You're relatively new, and I say that respect, like relatively new.
About 6.5 years.
See, and that's amazing to me. Like 6.5 years, people always tell me like, oh, it takes you, you know, 10 plus years to build a pipeline like you have, to build the relationships you have. And you've just done it in such a genuine way. And you see what's critically important. Talking about a team, I've been there, many of the top professionals, that's what the top 1% do, is you build a team that you can trust, that you can rely on.
That's exactly it. Because there's just, sure, if you're in California and you want to be a top 1%er, that's not hard.
Sure.
You do $1 million loans, do 100 loans a year, you know, get yourself 10 loans a month, 8 loans a month, you're good to go. Here in Florida, where our average loan size is about 225, 230, to get to that $100 million mark, we're talking 400 plus transactions, and that takes a team. That takes a village. And there's also a training aspect that has to go into your referral partners to let your referral partners know that you trust your teammates as much as you trust yourself. And that if I'm not available, they can call them and they can trust them the way they're going to trust me. And it's a time, it's a process. But that's really what I've been focused on now for the better part of a year, is to structure the team so I can take time off with my family. I can take a week if I need to, and I have a team that'll back me up. And sure, there's going to be fires. Sure, there's going to be things that I need to step in and handle, because that's the point of a team leader. But it's also very, very few and far between. And that's the dream setup in a system.
Nice. And I think that's one of those things too, is as you talk about a team, and again, knowing who you are, being able to have that trust, that confidence in them is absolutely, it's everything. That's what truly makes loan officers successful, because you can't do 400 transactions. You would burn yourself out. You would literally put yourself in a mental state that is just, I can't even imagine. And like you said, here's what's really cool to me. And I want to ask this, and I don't know if you know your numbers exactly. You're one of those guys that I know numbers is important, but it's not everything to you. Do you know the number of like transactions that come from referral partners as to past clients? What, do you have any idea what that looks like for you?
Yeah. So last year we did 406 transactions. Of the 406, 81% came from referral partners, and 19% of those were past client referrals or repeat clients.
Holy.
So like last year out of 406 transactions, we only did 17 refinances. 2020 was the year of refis, but we had such a purchase business boom on our end that we stepped back and stopped doing refinances mid-year. Number one, we couldn't scale the team fast enough. Everyone in the mortgage industry was already so busy, and there wasn't time to train up new talent to take on the additional business. But we grew, you know, we grew from a $46 million year to $101 million year from 19 to 20. And so, you know, last year we were 95% purchase. This year, we're about holding the same number on it. We're 215, 220 transactions deep into the year, and we're holding about a 95% purchase still. We've really narrowed our focus. And I think that's also key to success, is narrowing your focus. I told you earlier, he who is a jack of all trades is mediocre at best.
Absolutely.
If you are the king of refinances and purchase and renovation and jumbo and down payment assistance and construction loans, that means you pretty much suck at all of them. To be really honest with you, there's just no way you're going to become the master of every single product.
It's true.
Pick products that fit your market, that fit what you do, and run with those and perfect the model on them. And that's really what we've done. It's why we don't do renovation loans. It's why we don't do down payment assistance. It's why we don't do construction loans. It's just not the cup of tea we decided to go with.
Which is so smart. Like you said, I mean, and clearly it's working for you and the team to go and do renovation, to go do this, go do that. It distracts from what you're already good at. The fact, I mean, everybody last year, 2020 was a banner year for refis. And the fact that you had that wasn't your focus. You knew where your niche was and you're like, hey, I'm going to stay here. And actually this is, here's a comment from Victor Lopez. Victor, I'm not sure why it doesn't show your name, but I went and looked at it. This is from Victor Lopez. He asks, when's a good time to get referrals from existing clients? You have any feedback or thought on that?
All day, every day.
Of course.
So you need to be setting up clients from the very first conversation to an expectation of referring clients. Sometimes I get really, really bold with them, but you know, opening conversations that we have talks about that we aim to earn a 5-star review. Depending on the clientele, sometimes we'll actually have that conversation with them and say, listen, the process we aim to give you in the mortgage industry, we expect to earn 3 referrals from you. It's not, we're going to hold your feet to the fire, but that's the level of service we expect to give you, is you're going to be so wowed by it that you're going to send us 3 clients. Wow. And they're like, oh, okay. And I'm like, no, trust me. And so we're reaching out at different points, even of the transaction, to ask for referrals. But then we're also following up post-closing to ask for referrals at 6 months post-closing, at 12 months post-closing, following up with a 5-year email campaign post-closing. There's a lot of things that we can do. Existing clients, I mean, if you look at just the cycle of our business, the average consumer is buying, selling homes. Used to be 7 years, down to almost 5 years right now.
Wow.
So if that's happening, that means that every client you're dealing with is going to know on average 2 to 3 people, 4 people that are buying and selling right now.
Yep. There you go. There you go, Victor. A great response.
So not asking for the business is simply negligent. Not going out and seeking that business is simply negligent on a loan officer's part.
Well, there you go. What a great feedback on that. Awesome. Thank you. You are welcome, Victor. That's what we do here. We add value. You have somebody like Andrew who's willing to share his time, all his expertise and knowledge. And I kind of want to get into this. And this is kind of going in the same direction, because you and I were talking about social media and one way that you can stay in front of your clients. And ladies and gentlemen, I talk about this a lot, but I literally, I talk about it probably more than anybody, is using social media. You can reach more people. You can stay engaged with people. And there's not a better example that I've literally ever found, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, than Andrew, and his social media. So I've actually got permission to share this here. Andrew, this is your Facebook page.
Yeah, my personal Facebook page.
I'm glad you said that. This is your personal Facebook page. So let's talk about this a little bit. I scrolled through your feed, and ladies and gentlemen, if you want a good example, you need to go friend him. And the hard part is he's almost maxed out on friends, so follow him if nothing else. But look at how you post on social media. And as you and I were getting ready for this, what is your goal behind social media? When you're on social media, what is your goal? What are you trying to accomplish when you're using social media?
So I have to ask myself, how many true friends do I have in this world? I have a lot of acquaintances, but not a lot of friends. So my social media, my Facebook specifically, my Instagram is going to be following the 500-600-700 friends that I have in this world. And then to add other people to my social media that could create value for my family. And that's really what it's going to come down to. So I've got close to 5,000 friends on there. So sorry, if you're a loan officer, you add me as a friend on Facebook, I'm probably going to deny that request, because I keep my limitation very, very tight on that. I actively seek to add every single client that we do business with as a friend on Facebook. And nice. I cannot tell you, still to this day, 3 to 5 times a week, I get messages on Facebook from past clients that say, hey, I see your post on this. Do you think it's time for me to refinance? Hey, my husband and I are separating. I need to get pre-qualified for my own thing. Now, there's a high probability that if I wouldn't have added them on Facebook, the email campaigns, the other things I'm doing may not have caught that situation. And so it's just another way to stay top of mind with your past clients. So I'm adding as many friends as I can and cycling through and unfriending people because I hit the max and I cycle through and I look at who I have as friends that are loan officers across the country. I love a lot of loan officers across the country, but if it comes down to a past client, a referral partner, or a loan officer friend that is in, you know, Tulum, Texas, sorry, it's going to be that guy's gone and a past client comes in.
Of course.
And so it's all about staying top of mind. It's also about being relevant on social media. So if all you do is post pictures of yourself, you know, at your desk and you have a professional photographer taking photos of you posed on the side of the street with your phone and your laptop, stop it. Like, stop it. Just stop the BS.
For sure.
People want real. We're living in a society where we're actually, the vast majority of us are really, really sick and tired of fake. That's why, you know, the influencers in the wild page on Instagram has millions and millions of followers because people are sick and tired of fake. What they want is real. They want to celebrate your achievements with you like that. They want to see that you're successful. But if that's all I post, it's going to sound braggadocious.
But dude, that's what you do. And that's why I show yours as an example, because you scroll through here and like it, you do a perfect amount of personal versus business. People know that you're the Epic Mortgage guy. Like, they absolutely do. How could they not? You share so many valuable things. You share other people's content at times. Like, yours literally is such a good look at that. You chilling with your dog, bro. Like, there's just so many great examples of you being you.
Yeah, people want to see you not just as a talking head of your industry. I don't care what industry you're in. If all you do is become a talking head of your industry, you're going to get people that unfollow you. So you can have 5,000 friends, but that doesn't mean anything because 4,000 of them may have unfollowed you and you're just sitting there talking to an empty audience. True. Just because if your friends are dropping off, you got a bigger problem. Yeah. But you want to remain relevant. You don't want to be seen as just a talking head. They want to see you as a good husband, a good father, a good dog dad. They want to see you on date night with your daughter. They want to see the real you, not this hire a professional photographer to take a picture of me eating alone with my laptop at a restaurant. It drives me nuts when I see that stuff because it's such propaganda. People want reality. They want real life. They want to see who you are. They want to see your frustrated moments. They want to see a good rant every so often. They want to see you at your best and at your worst. They want to see who you really are.
That's what they want. They really want to know Andrew Cady. They want to know the Epic Mortgage guy. And if that's what you're kind of letting them come in, they're letting them see that, then they're like, oh my gosh, like this is the guy. Andrew's the guy that I want to use for my mortgage. Like, I trust him. It goes back to, you know, building a team, that trust factor with a team. You're building a trust and relationship with these clients. As you let them in to see that personal side of you, the real you, they just connect with you in such a real way, in a way that can never be broken. It's not just transactional anymore. They buy into who you are. They buy into your family. They see your dogs and they care about you.
Yeah, 100%. I've actually contemplated putting dogs into my pre-approval process somehow. I haven't figured out how to do it yet, but I want Sadie and Callie, my two doodles, to be a part of my pre-approval process. Oof. I think people relate to dogs. People trust people that have dogs. People that trust people that love their dogs. You know, at the end of the day, it may sound like I do all this for marketing, but at the end of the day, yes, I do. Mm. Yes, I really, really do. Because at the end, when all is said and done, I'm not in business to amass millions so I can run off to Tahiti by myself. I'm in business so, yes, I can make millions and I can retire and I can spend time with my family and I can do amazing things with my family. Like, wow. I don't live to work. I work to live. So if I can monopolize on a social media platform to build trust, and it's not fake trust, it's real trust. But real if trust. I can utilize a platform to build that trust, by all means, I'm going to do it every minute of every day.
Oh man, that is so, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to go back and listen to those last 2 minutes of what Andrew's talking about here, because this is how social media should be used. This is how you should be looking at your engagements, your relationships. And it's just one more way to stay involved, to make an impact on the people's lives that you're touching every single day. And that's what he's talking about. Yeah. If you just focus on mortgage, mortgage, mortgage all the time, you start to lose sight of that. You start to lose sight of the people. What helped you get there? So I want to end with this. We're going over 20 minutes and I want to end on some rapid fire questions with some of my pod deck questions here. So we're going to rapid fire these to Andrew. I have not told him any of these, so he has no idea what's coming up. I don't know what's coming up. So we're going to draw a couple of cards. We're going to end on this because Andrew has literally given us so much value in these last 20 minutes. Let's have some fun. So, all right, first card, the oddest job ever taken to earn a buck. What's the oddest job you've ever taken to earn a buck?
My first job, I was a guy that worked at a pool store that filled the chlorine jugs out back.
What?
Yep, that seems dangerous. That was my very, very first job. I worked at a store called Action Pool and Patio, and my job was to fill the chlorine jugs when clients would come in. I was young. My brother-in-law owned the company, so I probably shouldn't have been. OSHA would probably hate me for it. But I was the guy that was out back filling the chlorine jugs.
Jason Sharon, Katie is the man. Great comment there. He absolutely is. Everybody, see, he not only is he epic in so many ways, but he's just a good dude. Everybody loves him. All right, here's the next one. What brand or product do you buy because you feel it's trustworthy? That's a great question. These are not staged. I just drew this one.
Samsung.
Samsung, really?
Samsung. Across the board. Every TV in my home. Right now, I'm sitting on an iPhone, which is about to go away because I cannot stand it compared to a Samsung product. Samsung has a really superior quality product, in my opinion, to the vast majority of about every product out there.
What? There you go. That I love it. Okay, last one. Many people read electronic books. Do you think that takes away from the experience? Interesting.
I think it depends on the human. Like for me, my ADHD has ADHD. I tell people all the time that my ADHD has progressed to ADOS, which is attention deficit O squirrel. Like I can't even finish the phrase anymore. So for me, I can have the best book in the world in front of me and I can't spend more than 15 minutes reading it.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, I just can't. So audiobooks have become my life. That's the way I gain my knowledge. You know, I'm probably 45 books deep this year.
Wow.
And like for every morning I get up, my start of my day is between 5 and 6 a.m. and I sit on the couch with my eyes closed in total silence and I spend 1 hour listening to an audiobook every single morning. And that's just what I do. And so I don't think there's any right or wrong to that answer. I think it's going to come down to the individual person. Like my father loves to read and highlight words and underline words.
Dude,
I wouldn't ever read a book in my life if that was the case.
I'm right with you. My ADHD has, I'm using that ADOS. Is that what ADOS?
ADOS, attention deficit, no squirrel.
Dude, that is literally me to a T. That's why Andrew and I are so similar. I mean, in so many ways, I freaking love him. That's why I love hanging out with him. Guys, I want to thank him. He has spent so much time with us today. He has shared so many valuable insights and he continues to be the top 1% and he continues to do it humbly. That's why I have so much respect for him, so much admiration, because he's not here being braggadocious. He's just sharing the shit that you guys need to be doing. If you start to implement these things, you can do it too. So huge shout out to our good friend, Andrew Cady, the epic mortgage guy. And as we've seen in the comments, you're just loved by so many, man. I appreciate you. Huge shout out to you. Huge thanks to you. And just grateful to have you here, brother.
Hey, grateful to be here. It's a pleasure as always.
So much more to come, man. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, let's do it again soon.
I say next time we get to hang out in person, I cannot wait. Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, you have seen the Epic Mortgage Guy hanging out here on the Shred Show. If you appreciated his episode, drop a hashtag Shred. That means you're live hanging out with us. And if you're joining us on the replay, comment hashtag Hustle because you're out there getting it done. Then coming back right here to get what you need to be successful in your business. As always, we appreciate you. We love you. Now it's time for all of you to go Shred. Go show up. Hustle. Repeat every day. See ya.